innovation is creating new ways of, you know, there's opportunity there, right? It's just capitalizing on any kind of opportunity and creating solutions. So it's just a group effort.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast, where we discuss insurance innovation. Now, you know, there's a renaissance that's happening here in the insurance industry, and, you know, and I've been able to witness that firsthand through all of the discussions and all of the engagements that I had with not only the thought leaders, but with also some of the listeners of this podcast. You know, I know a lot of you are, you know, thinking about what's happening in your organization and what your organization within the insurance industry is doing in order to be able to innovate or provide additional value along the insurance value chain. You know, I watch what people like Sabine van der Linden is doing to bring that thought and that spirit of innovation back to places like Hartford or in other cities and places across the globe. And, you know, and I see that, you know, with all of the things that's happening in our industry with the new entrants and with some of the more established long-term carriers, that, you know, there is this want and there's this need to really provide that additional value to the policyholders and those that are using the great products that our insurance industry provides. So, you know, I'm loving just watching this renaissance just play out in front of us. I really think that this is something that's very positive and beneficial for our great insurance industry. Now, you know, I do want to thank our sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. You know, their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. Now, today joining me is Robin Smith, the Chief Executive Officer of WeGoLook, a mobile technology company that uses crowdsourcing to complete on-demand field services. Hey, Robin, thank you for joining us. I truly appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you. No, it's definitely a pleasure. Thanks.
Hey, you know, so Robin, if you don't mind, just walk us through your background and how you came to co-found WeGoLook.
Sure, happy to. So I grew up on a farm here in Oklahoma. So a lot of people find that odd that now I'm the CEO of a technology company. But so definitely have a lot of rural roots here. Worked for the Washington Post out of college, went into sales and marketing, started my own consulting company working primarily with auto dealers after my husband passed away, just based on needing to spend more time with, I've got two sons, and being able to, you know, work with them on their homework and practice and all that stuff. So started that consulting company, and that's really what gave me a lot of experience with different types of platforms, obviously exposure to the internet, tools like that. And so when I had a friend back in late 2009 that was looking at a high-end projector on eBay, and he thought the seller was misrepresenting it, you know, he said, you know, I wish I had someone to go look at that for me. I did some research and couldn't find a service provider, and with that experience that I had working with the BDC centers, I realized that, you know what, I should create a network of people that could be dispatched to any on-site location and take current photos, take measurements, video a working demonstration, perform custom tasks, respond to personalized questions, and bundle all that information back up to give the buyer, you know, basically an inspection report on that asset. And that's really where I started back with, you know, just helping people like you and I mitigate our risk when purchasing something sight unseen. And it's evolved now since late 2009 into the machine that we are currently. So there's a little background.
No, I think that's great, Robin. So, you know, so how does WeGo look? How does the concept apply to insurance? And was that industry originally a part of your value proposition?
You know, it originally, the only thing I had in my sights was the eBay consumer model, which is actually very important for the insurance space because it was built on a very fast turnaround time. And being able to dispatch someone anywhere to capture that asset information. But it wasn't really until late 2012 that I was able to kind of shift my focus to more of a B2B model based on, you know, we had Superstorm Sandy hit and I was performing some interior, exterior commercial property inspections for some small and mid-sized banks. They had a very large bank that came in and needed some property inspections performed. And I had a FEMA certified looker. I was working the desk at the time, and he was able to go down on his bicycle and perform these type of inspections. And we did it very, very quickly, left my logo on these reports, and they started sending them to the banks they worked with. And they said, okay, we want you to start using WeGo Look as a vendor. And that's what kind of opened my eyes up. I said, you know what? There are these companies out there that need a nationwide footprint. But really, this quick, on-demand, customized reporting feature of just the data that they want, right? And so shifted my focus in 2012 to that, and that led me into been really heavily involved within insurance for about the past 3 years. But we're also very diverse. We work with banking and financial, heavy equipment, automotive, that sort of thing as well. But definitely found a sweet spot within insurance because, frankly, especially on the claim side, there's not a lot of technology that's being leveraged. And so we found that opportunity there, and we've been capitalizing on it ever since.
You know, so you took an idea that was somewhat of an association, right? So you took something that you were once applying to another industry, and then you applied it to the insurance space. Now, you know what they say? They say when you're innovating, you just need to simply increase the number of collisions from one industry or another non-similar industry or idea to another. You know, so when you applied the WeGo Look concept to the insurance industry, were there any challenges that you faced in applying and making it work well within this industry?
Sure. So first of all, I would say that the insurance industry is kind of slow to move and slow to innovate. And it's really only been the last couple of years that insurtech has even been a buzzword, right? And so, but I do think that people have learned from during the basically the fintech revolution, I would say, how some of these large banks lost a lot of market share to smaller, more nimble and innovative companies. I think they're starting to learn, and they, especially with the advancements of, you know, machine learning and different types of technology, that people are more open to it. But sure, there's been, of course, you know, people, they are uncomfortable sometimes when, you know, we have over 36,000 independent contractors in our network. We call them lookers. And it's hard sometimes for a carrier to go, okay, you know what? We are going to allow these lookers to work with our policyholders to capture, you know, auto inspections or property inspections, work with them. And so it's kind of a, you know, wanting to not let go of that. And we're also kind of disrupting that traditional supply chain process of their internal adjusters, right? So we've been displacing or augmenting the field force for some of these carriers. Our lookers are able to go out and very cost effectively and much more quickly perform scene inspections or pick up police reports. You know, they're not driving around in a fleet vehicle, heavily compensated for what I call low complex, high volume tasks. There's a huge need for those adjusters in certain areas, but frankly, I don't know why anyone would want to pay, you know, more for a slower process when we can go in and perform those type of services. So there's internal process challenges for sure. But once we get over those, we really are able to perform and provide very cost-effective and efficient solutions.
You know, so Robin, you know, I think about the 36,000 lookers that you mentioned, and I think about, you know, the integrity of the process, especially the claims adjusting process, or just, you know, ensuring that that what the lookers are returning back, in terms of the information that returning back is what's required for the insurance space. You know, so I guess the question would be, you know, how do you all over at WeGoLook maintain the integrity of the information that's coming back from the 36,000 independent contractors?
That's a great question. Obviously, data security is high on our priority list, as is it is to our customers. We are SSA 16 SOC Type 2.2 data certified. In a lot of this, everything goes through our mobile technology platform. It's a proprietary platform. It's a native solution. Nothing is ever stored on the looker's device. It's all cached within the app. And we have a backloading feature. Once we capture a photo or submit a question, all of that immediately starts a backloading to our quality assurance team back in Oklahoma City and is deleted. And of course, everything's time and date stamped, geolocated. So it's actually more secure than some carriers' own devices that they use with their own field force. They may have requirements to shred documents or delete photos from cameras, but there's really no way to prove that those tasks actually were completed. So at least we're able to track and show that all of the security controls that we have in place did in fact occur. I would also say for quality assurance, you know, as we kind of talk along that vein, we have a whole entire call center, fulfillment center in Oklahoma City, about 137 employees. We have obviously our own engineering team, but we have an order asset verification team, fulfillment team, quality assurance team. Our lookers are required to present an electronic ID badge upon arrival. We reach out from Oklahoma City on every single order to the policyholder to verify order information. We want to see, you know, if it's a vehicle, we want to find out, can we meet them at their home, place of employment, on their lunch hour, at a Starbucks, as quickly as possible. We also want to find out if there are any language barriers. So if we need to dispatch someone that speaks Mandarin or Spanish, we're able to do that. And all of that ties back into your question of kind of a quality control or security piece. Our lookers take selfies while they're on site. So, of course, that doesn't go back to the claim file, but that does actually go to our gamification system here. So our QA team, we want to make sure that everyone's adhering by our dress code requirements. So we do have a lot of quality control in place along with the data security, whether it's our platform or with our lookers.
Yeah, you know, Robin, and I think that becomes very important, especially where you're using the independent contractors to do the looking, is I guess how I would put it. And you want to ensure that they're representing and reflecting the principles of the carriers and also the principles of WeGoLook. So I do think that actually that gamification piece that you just denoted in terms of ensuring that they're dressed in a certain way and that they're actually at the site, I absolutely think that's a way to enable that integrity, to make sure that it's working and that the lookers are reflecting what you all intended for them to. As I think about what you all are doing, I actually think about something that happened a little bit earlier this year, and you all were just recently acquired, I think it was in January this year, by Crawford & Company. And when some of us saw this acquisition, it felt really natural, you know, with Crawford being one of the top claim servicing organization in the world. Now, others may have saw this as something different, you know. So does this mean that because you all are now in the aligned with Crawford, that you're now all in on the insurance vertical? And are you going to be continuing to work in the other verticals that you service?
Sure. Yeah, no, and that's a great question. And yeah, a lot of people have asked all kinds of questions about the acquisition. And they did acquire 85% of the company. My COO and I retain the remaining 15%. So we're very committed to, you know, ensuring the success and growth of WeGoLook. One of the reasons that they were interested in us, not only to provide more cost-effective and fast solutions for their clients using our network and technology, was because of the diversification. We are not in 100% in the insurance. Now, yes, we are heavily focused on that, simply at this point, based on, you know, many of their contacts and current customers are in that space. But you have to remember also, when any Fortune 500, most large enterprise clients, we can perform multiple types of services for that one customer. So we can really move across different segments. So take a Costco or a Target, or where we can provide, you know, these our assisted self-service app for workers' comp claims, or for, you know, identifying risk champions on site when there's a slip and trip and they use our technology, or dispatching a looker on site to capture this data, whether it's for scene inspection, accidents in the parking lot. There's a lot of different ways we can help, but then we can also go to their distribution centers and perform the off-lease forklift inspections on all their forklifts. So there's in on their fleet, if they have their own transport assets, we're able to go out and perform inspections on these tractor trailers, or put our assisted self-service app in the hands of the fleet drivers, where they can capture that same data that we are. We review it, and all the information's in one portal, all being captured in the same and consistent manner. So there's a lot of positives to being diversified within multiple industries. And Crawford realizes that, and they are still letting us operate pretty much independently and continue doing what, in fact, our board meeting was earlier this week, and diversification was a big part of that. And some of the plans that we have in the automotive space, they're really excited about and very supportive of.
And I do think that's important in order to continue to innovate in a space that you all are really the market leaders in. What I also think about is, as you guys recently just introduced a new product called YouGoLook. And, I realize you talked about the self-service piece, but do you mind just letting us know what YouGoLook actually is?
Oh, I would be happy to, and thanks for asking. So YouGoLook is the world's only assisted self-service app. And what I mean by that, when we were at PLRB earlier this year, we heard a lot of feedback from multiple carriers that their own self-inspection tool was not being utilized by the policyholders. It was, low adoption, low engagement. And they were, really still needing the fastest and most cost-effective way to capture this data. Of course, it is always with the on-site contact, when possible. And our entire platforms, our fulfillment team here, we're used to capturing data from the masses and encouraging them in the right ways to capture the right kind of data. So we created YouGoLook, which is whatever kind of schema you're looking at. I'll just take an auto. It's pretty simple. But you may have your own specific data requirements for that automobile, whether it's for underwriting or whether it's for a claim, whether you're a bank needing to loan money on it, or maybe you're an eBay Motors customer. It doesn't matter. We can send this link out with this very specific schema criteria that's required that we've created together to any third party. So it can be the policyholder, an on-site contact, a fleet driver, a body shop. It can be your own field adjustment team. It can be your own employees. It can be a looker. But it's all being followed, and all the required fields have to be completed before being submitted. So what we're doing is, when this link goes out to the policyholder, we're asking them to verify the asset information. We also find out if there are any language barriers there. We want to ask them, are they willing to do it within, say, 24 hours? We want them to commit to a time. The platform is doing all of this electronically and following up with them. If the policyholder decides to do it at that time, they can. If they want to wait till, tomorrow at 2, they can. If they want to send, there's a link to, if you want someone to come do this for you, that's where the looker comes in and captures that data. So let's say the customer says, I want to do it tomorrow at 2. Our platform gently reminds them prior to 2 p.m. that they need to take their photos. We walk them through it. If they don't submit them, then a real person in Oklahoma City reaches out to them to talk with them to see if they have any questions on how to actually do this, even though it's pretty simple. We want to just prompt them again to collect their own data. If then they return the information back to us, our quality assurance team is reviewing this data. And let's say they took 5 photos of the ground instead of 5 photos of the vehicle. Well, our quality assurance team calls and says, Mr. and Mrs. Policyholder, please retake these photos. And if they refuse to, there's probably a red flag. We can send a looker out at that time. My point being, there's a seamless workflow here that gets the carrier the information back within, 48, 72 hours. We're managing that entire process, and it's a seamless experience for the customer, and that's what we want. And so this is how YouGoLook works. It's really putting our technology in the hands of any third party with any type of schema that, and it can be international. It doesn't have to be just in the countries that we have lookers, which is, US, Australia, Canada, and the UK. Our technology is international. So any small, mid-size, even large enterprise client can utilize this technology. We have it built. It's ready to go. We can incorporate our SDK into theirs or vice versa. Or if they don't have anything, we just let them use it with our entire platform. So we're super excited about it. We've had great feedback so far. We've already launched with one large carrier on the property side with it at launch. So we're really excited.
Congratulations on the launch, by the way. When I was when I was reading about it, I really thought that this was something that was exciting for WeGoLook. What I also thought about, so then what I wound up doing was putting myself in the shoes of the lookers. And if I'm a looker, I'm almost thinking, okay, well, now, there's the policy holder that's potentially doing a lot of this. And if a lot of policy holders decide to self-service, through at the request of the carrier, this may create somewhat of a disintermediation between what I, as a looker, would have been there to do, and now what the policy holder is doing in my place. So, have you all thought about, what that could potentially mean for your current WeGoLook product, and if there truly is a level of disintermediation that's going to occur with this new product launch?
Sure. And you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, more and more people are going to the self-automated type of product. However, there is a huge need for a blended model, and there will be for several years to come, because not everyone's a techie, right? And of course, if we only launched it with our current clients, there would be some of that disintermediation occurring. However, the way we're looking at it is gaining new, very large clients and more clients. And even the very best companies that we've talked to that have their own self-service app and are utilizing it well, you still have at least a minimum of 25 to 35% that won't do it. So there's that opportunity of large area of actual growth for our lookers to come in and perform those as we get our platform an app into the hands of these new customers.
So I really see this this concept as something that's very innovative, and also how you all have decided to go in another direction and sort of enable another profit center for WeGoLook in YouGoLook. Now, so when you think about being an innovative entrepreneur, I could imagine that there's a lot of challenges in introducing new ideas really successfully. So I guess my question for you is, have you ever dealt with, I'd call it failure or maybe pivoting in a concept or an idea that you introduced to WeGoLook? And then how did you handle that?
Well, sure. So I tell you what, some of my favorite quotes, people, Babe Ruth, everyone knows him being a home run hitter, but he struck out more times, right, than he'd ever hit home runs. People don't think about that. And Michael Jordan, missing so many game shots and winning. You don't think about those things. Of course, you have to fail. I would say that I still feel really strongly that we should go out and perform, these online date verifications. I mean, there are some fun things. It doesn't matter what kind of asset we're verifying. There's still a need for people to do that. And I have to actually wear a necklace that's an arrow so that I stay focused on basically four buckets. Because if not, when you start thinking about what you can do, how you can leverage this very contingent workforce, people don't realize these are not just all young. Our average age is 42.3 on our lookers. We have many retired professionals. We have about 2,200 licensed drone operators. Again, mobile notaries. We even have IAs and CAT adjusters in off-season in our platform, like real estate agents, ASC certified mechanics, stay-at-home moms. We have it's a huge mix. And when you start thinking how you can leverage our mobile technology in conjunction with this network, plus our call center here, you will start thinking of all kinds of things you can go out and look at and do, right? We're capable of performing tasks as well at scale. So it's there are a lot of things that I've tried, and I don't know if it was so much failing at that as it was failing at being able to focus energy all on to just a few verticals versus many, because you know, you spread yourself too thin, you're not focused on doing something really well. So I would say that my failure has been more along those lines, because if I went after the online dating community and everyone that had a profile actually had a verification as part of their listing and they were already verified, that would probably be a very popular product for a lot of people. But you know, anyway, so yes, there's definitely lots of failures as an entrepreneur, and sometimes you just want to go maybe wait tables somewhere and have an easy, stress-free life of, you know, something that you would enjoy doing. I would say that because I used to wait tables and I enjoyed it, but in the end, you always rebound and work harder and just keep going, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, the idea around verifying the online dating. I absolutely agree that, you know, if there's a verification process or a true verification around that, that would absolutely be a pretty popular product that
I'm telling you, maybe you and I need to talk offline and no, I'm kidding. Start our own.
Hey, there you go. Dating go luck. I don't know what we would call it.
I will say this though. See, if you even think about this, our workforce is out there and our platforms out there, an enterprising entrepreneur could be listening right now and go, you know what? I could build the website for that and use WeGoLooks, you know, lookers to go do that. And I could make that happen. Someone who has time to do that, it could actually be a product for them to go verify and add as any kind of listing, a certification of any kind of asset. So I think that's cool what we're doing. We're helping other people. And of course, all of our lookers are entrepreneurs also, right, in their own right. And so it's pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, so someone potentially being able to take what we're talking about here and start that. But I think the key thing that you connected was having the ability to leverage the 36,000 lookers from WeGoLook to do that work. You know, so is that what you guys also typically do in terms of finding new things and new verticals as well? So if there is an entrepreneur or if there are organizations that want to leverage the lookers to do other specific tasks and things, allow that opportunity to do so?
Of course. Absolutely. It's an order for us. We call them looks. Anything to do to keep my lookers busy, I am always open to hearing. And we actually have a woman that's working on a website right now to do this very same thing, but it's to really, you know, go check on their people in nursing homes. And it's a pretty cool concept, but she needs people. And so it would just be an on-demand, order and connect right to our platform. And so there's opportunity out there for people who are thinking about it for sure.
Absolutely. You know, so I think about that, and I would imagine, you know, just given the success of the products that you all have designed and the sheer volume and extent of number one, the number of lookers, but then also the work that you all do, that you have a pretty great team around you that's helping to drive a lot of the successes with WeGoLook.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you know, and I think that becomes very, very important for success of an organization. So you know, how do you leverage the expertise of your team members to, you know, continue making progress towards growth and significant progress towards growth for WeGoLook?
So I would say I 100% agree with you on the team, and you can't do it without that. And again, I love sports analogies around here. I feel like I'm more of a head coach, and I take my players and I see where their strengths are, try to bring those to the top and keep the weaknesses to a minimum and, you know, have them all play together and we all work towards a common goal, right? So we're very team oriented here. And I would add to that I don't feel like I'm very much about, if a person wants to hustle and they have the passion, They don't have to be an expert. I fully believe, and take the guys at Airbnb or Uber, those guys did not have a background in transportation or hospitality, but they had a fantastic idea that improved a customer experience that was cheaper, obviously easy to use, and they all they did was utilize technology for all of it, and they have basically transformed those two industries in a very short amount of time. So I don't feel like you have to be an industry expert to be an industry leader. And so we carry that through here as well. And back to Crawford, being able to leverage the resources that they have, the industry knowledge. I'm not an insurance expert, but I can listen to what the client is saying, and I know how my company works, and I know what we can do for them. And I love to create these custom solutions. It's my favorite thing when it all works together and I see what we're doing. It's very satisfying. But we definitely, you know, going back to resources and a team, having that Crawford team, you know, supporting us is, I think, very important in the insurance space. And it sets us apart from any other field service company that's out there. It really does.
Yeah, you know, I could imagine with the extensive reach of Crawford as well and the expertise in the insurance space that it really does set you all apart. And it helps, I would assume that it would help to also set some direction in terms of where there's an opportunity to innovate or provide different solutions for the insurance space with WeGoLook. You know, as a business leader, and when we think about innovation, how do you instill a culture of innovation with your team and the people that work for your organization?
Oh, that's a good question. That'd probably be a great question for them, because I feel like it's just it just comes from, and I don't know if it's the farming background. My COO also grew up on a farm. So I feel like he and I both together will just kind of come up with solutions. Sometimes people say, no, you can't do that, or no, this isn't how it was supposed to work. Well, you just figure out a different way to make it work. And I think that that's what we've done here. When people say, oh, that doesn't sound like it'll work, or that's going to be hard or too hard. Well, guess what? It can be done. So let's figure it out and let's make it the best it can be. And so I feel like that's part of the way we instill innovation around here is we love to listen to everyone's ideas. We want to, take the feedback from the people that are working the floors. You know, if we can improve a process by just a few seconds, we like to do that. I heard someone one time tell me they didn't assign any dev resources to something unless it was a cost savings of 5 minutes. I was like, wow, 5 minutes times thousands of people. That was kind of shocking. You know, you'd think that most companies would adopt a more agile policy, but you know, we try to, we do a lot of fun things around here, and everyone's excited because you know what we're doing here is we are changing the way the world works, and we all are excited about our mission. You have to realize, we work very closely with these lookers every day, and it's inspiring to know that not only are we creating solutions and helping our clients and their policyholders get back on their feet. You think about down in Houston, we had our average turnaround time for an auto inspection was 1.13 days, even when the vehicles were displaced. That is huge. That's helping that policyholder who's gone through a terrible experience get back on their feet. We had over 893 lookers there in the area that had not been displaced outside of Houston. So we love helping the customer, the customer's customer. Our lookers send in their fantastic stories. You can go to hashtag I'm a looker and read some of them. They're amazing. Like, we're making a difference in so many different people's lives. And, you know, my people here in Oklahoma City are on a career path. And so I think innovation comes from opportunity and the excitement that we have and the passion that we have here. And of course, if you don't fit in our team, you don't last very long. We only want people that are really driven around here too. But I would say that it all works together, all of that.
Yeah, you know, and I think to the point that you made, having driven people that understand, you know, the direction and the vision of the organization becomes very, very important to the success of an organization. You know, and now I then flip from, you know, the direct staff and then think about the lookers. You know, so do you all also engage lookers in terms of contributing ideas to, you know, keep WeGo Look Forward going forward? And if do you have any examples of, you know, an idea that came from a looker that really changed the way you all operated?
Gosh, I'm trying to think if there's just one idea that's completely changed the way we operate. We ask for feedback on a constant, you know, so that our app is the very best. We have an email address that they all send in their suggestions to, because we want it to be, you know, easy for them to use. And I don't think of one single idea that has changed the way we do things. It's just kind of more of a culmination of the feedback from the people that are out in the field. You know, what is it like? We want to be able to route. We have geolocation on everyone, the very most practical way for them to travel for the day. You know, how can they use their time most wisely? And there's cool things like that. We're adding, you know, image recognition into our app, so that the camera is telling them, giving them some direction while they're in the field. But one single idea, I'm not sure. I would say that it's more of many people working together, trying to make a difference. And we actually have one of our very best lookers. He just finished his 3,000th look, if that's the way you're supposed to say that. He completed it. He's going to come to our Christmas party. He lives out in Washington State, so we're super excited about that. Innovation is creating new ways of, you know, there's opportunity there, right? It's just capitalizing on any kind of opportunity and creating solutions. So it's just a group effort.
Yeah, you know what? And it's I could imagine the individual that just completed the 3,000th look and what you mentioned, you know, with that individual coming to your Christmas party. I actually think that that's pretty exciting, because that then almost makes the looker feel as if they're part of the core WeGo Look team. And in all honesty, I think what winds up happening is you get a different feel of people that's utilizing your service when they feel like that they're really connected to the mission of what WeGo Look is hoping to offer. You know, so I think that's pretty exciting.
Thanks. We love our lookers. I'm Facebook friends with a lot of them. We, you know, just over the years, and they mean a lot to us. We call them our looker family. I mean, when we're talking to them, they're a looker family. When we talk to clients, it's a looker community, because people don't really probably understand that, but they definitely are part of, you know, especially some of them that have been with us since the beginning. They really have been patient as we've gone through different platforms and different ways that we do things. And it's been great. It's been a great ride. And I can't wait as we continue to scale globally into other countries. I can't wait to see what, even just in a year from now, what it looks like. I can't wait.
You know, so I could imagine, you know, you and your leadership team sitting in your office and just thinking about other things and other concepts. You know, do you all have other concepts on the horizon that you're going to be launching soon, or at least things that you can talk about?
Concept-wise, I would say a lot of it is tied to the self-service piece, but also utilizing Crawford, right? How do we really come in as a strong partner? And I think that what's great about that is it's a product that we're going to launch, and I don't mind sharing it with you. It hasn't been officially launched, but we'll. How about now? No, I'm happy to talk to you about it. It's called True Look, and it is where we're able to provide desk estimates, repair estimates for property. Because there's companies that are doing that for auto, but there's no one doing it for property. And Crawford's super strong on the property desk, so we'll be out capturing that information same day. We utilize mobile target technology to take measurements of rooms. So we're able to, a looker can snap photos, and we're able to, the software accurately measures the different data points within that room. So we're able to capture the data, send it over with measurements to a desk, and they can actually, you know, on $15,000 less type claims, they're able to actually perform this full report at about half the cost and much faster than a traditional field adjuster would. So that's exciting. That's kind of a new thing that will be I think, heavily viewed as something positive within the marketplace. But other than that, we just will continue to improve our technology. Like I said, there's some machine learning, some artificial intelligence we want to work with Google on. There's some other types that we're always trying to innovate here and stay ahead of the game. So we're not just a field service company. We're actually quite more of a mobile technology company that features this platform, really. But yeah, so it's mostly just enhancing our roadmap, our features, and making those things better.
Yeah, you know, and I, again, you know, thinking about the lookers, I look at the lookers as a very important asset for WeGoLook, and it looks like, you know, you all are continuing to innovate different ways for the lookers to leverage their talents and expertise, and I think that also provides, you know, long-term value and stability for long-term stability for the lookers, and then also long-term value for WeGoLook. You know, so just thinking about this, I like to ask the question always, you know, if there's someone that's listening to you and I speak here today that really want to, do things differently at whatever they're doing, what do you think a piece of advice is that we can give this person to do things differently and challenge the status quo?
Sometimes there's no right time. I hear people that, oh, I have this great idea. I want to do this, but I need to wait for this to happen. And I think if you wait till all the pieces are in place, you're going to be waiting for a long time. I don't know if there's ever a perfect time to do anything. So if you have an idea, you're wanting to try something new, I think you have to just, you know, take that step out on that little freeway. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're on playing Frogger and you're trying to jump across the backs of everything. But and I think you have to learn to innovate within yourself. Because we talk about innovation at work and ideas, but you know, how are you thinking about things? How can you do things differently? I will say this: when my husband did pass away, and I knew I needed to do something different so I could spend more time with the kids, that was really scary. I had a great job. I worked for the Washington Post. I was doing fantastic. It was really hard for me to give up that income and that stability and try something different. It was hard and it was scary. And I would say that ultimately, I think you have to look at what's worst case scenario. If you have an idea and you want to try something new, do you want to go ahead and try it? If you're good at what you do, you can go get a job somewhere else. It doesn't feel like that when you're trying to make that decision. You're looking at your bills and you're looking at your retirement account and you're like, how can I make all this happen? You're kind of caught up in the moment. But put yourself out 5 years. You know, if you didn't make that choice to try, would you be happy with yourself? You know, and can you, what's worst case scenario? Do you lose a little bit? Do you start over? Do you go to another place if it doesn't work out? And I think people have to just kind of really look at it that way. What's in their heart to kind of make things happen. But I think you just have to not wait for that perfect time and just, no matter, you know, how scared you feel or how insecure you may feel, you know, again, it goes back to that you don't have to be an expert to make this happen. You just have to be able to be a solutions provider and I think a team leader. And that would be kind of my advice. There's a lot to talk about, but and you got to stick with it. You can't give up. You have to have really thick skin. There's a lot to it. But I think that I commend anyone out there. I love entrepreneurs and I love people who do try their own ideas. And it doesn't matter if you fail how many times, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it.
Yeah. You know, Robin, I actually think that's a great piece of advice. You know, I always say sort of the same thing, just, you know, jump right in, be unapologetic about it. And if you fail, you know, a ton of times, you know, just pivot to do something else or tweak it in order to make it work the way that you want it to work. Even, you know, as I deal with my team, you know, I always want to ensure that if they have a great idea, you know, just move forward and do it, because sometimes an idea that someone puts on the table, others may not recognize the value of that idea. So a lot of times it gets put by the wayside. whereby, you know, if you just do it and if you demonstrate that this idea really has merit and value, then you could potentially recognize long-term growth and long-term value that comes from that. So I really think that that advice was is going to be very beneficial for people that's listening. And hopefully from that, we'll get some folks that will take action on things that they're sitting on and, not taking action at this point in time. So, you know, so Robin, I really do want to say thank you for, you know, taking time to sit with me and talk to me about WeGoLook and your roadmap and also your thoughts on innovation. You know, if there were listeners that did want to learn more about WeGoLook or even get in contact with you, what would the best way for them to do that be?
I would love to hear from anyone. That would be great. I'd love, and if, you know, any kind of feedback's fantastic. Obviously, you can go to our website, just wegolook.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. My email is simply Robin, R-O-B-I-N, at wegolook.com. There's, you know, feel free to reach out in either one of those channels. Be happy to connect.
Well, Robin, once again, thank you. I truly appreciate your time. And, you know, hopefully we will stay connected and I'll, you know, just continue to follow the successes of WeGoLook.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
Hey, everybody. You know, I just want to say thanks once again for listening to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. You know, we really try to dedicate our discussion to the topic of insurance innovation and bring all of the great insurance thought leaders and executives and innovators to this podcast. So what I do want to tell you is, you know, don't forget to subscribe or get your friends to do the same and tune in next week where we speak to the CEO of Risk Possible, Mike Desiato. See you then.